This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be reacting to last night's game, the final game of the weekend, rivalry weekend, as QPR went down 3-1 at home against Brentford. Ollie Watkins scoring twice. We'll also be focusing a little bit on Nottingham Forest, who are going through a little bit of a bad patch and also had their game postponed at the weekend due to a waterlogged pitch. We'll also talk about Swansea, who won their derby game on the weekend in the Welsh Derby against Cardiff. We'll also be talking a little bit about Sheffield Wednesday, who drew 0-0 against Leeds. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. Remember, if you want to share your views, obviously this hour, every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 is dedicated to you, the Championship fans out there, to share your views. Call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking all things Nottingham Forest now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Baz Cooper, journalist at the Nottingham Post. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Baz. The home game that they were supposed to be playing Forest on the weekend against Reading postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Obviously, you can't do anything about the weather, but how frustrating was it considering the bad run that Forest have been on that they couldn't kind of try and get back to winning ways at home against Reading on the weekend?
First of all, good afternoon, Kieran. Yeah, I think it was frustrating for everybody because, look, we've all pulled up to the ground there. There's 28, 29,000 people set to arrive, and it was a big game for Forest. They've had a great start to the season. There's been a lot of plaudits that have come their way in recent weeks, but they'd let their standards drop somewhat against Wigan away from home and then at home to Hull City. So the Reading game presented them with a great chance to get back to winning ways and just, you know, lift the confidence a tad had it have dropped off over the last couple of games. But it was also going to be, I think it was going to be a more difficult game than it probably would have been a couple of weeks ago, given the changing manager, of course, at Reading, Mark Bowen, replacing Jose Gomes. So they'd beaten Preston and got a decent draw away at QPR last midweek. So it was not going to be the foregone conclusion that probably one or two had expected prior to the international break.
Why do you think that over the last couple of weeks, why do you think Forest's performances or results have dropped? Because they lost against Wigan, lost also against Hull, which would have been very disappointing results for Forest. So why is it that, and it does just show in the Championship this season that you can lose a couple of games and suddenly Forest are now 10th. Just obviously, they do have a game in hand. But why is it that a couple of weeks ago Forest were flying and these last few results have gone a bit downhill for Forest?
Well, you alluded to it there, Kieran, that it is the Championship. And I think we spoke about this on this show a few weeks ago, saying that when you look at the first run of games up to the October break, Forest had played away at Leeds, away at Swansea, had won. They'd won away at Fulham. They'd had some very good results. They'd gone to Stoke and won there and gone top of the league and, of course, beat Brentford to go second before the break. But I think that momentum that they built up maybe took a bit of a hit with the international break. Also, that when you look at the run of games, we said the five games after the break up to the next one, you know, you've got Wigan, Hull, Reading on paper, Luton this weekend, followed by the Derby the following weekend. Those on paper looked marginally easier than the likes of Leeds and Swansea and Fulham. So, but that is, of course, the Championship. But what I would say is that they've lost Michael Dawson at Stoke, and almost there was a lot of symmetry this time last year when Forest lost Dawson in December. He was the linchpin of Ita Karanka's defence. He was the voice, the experience, the calm is the calm. And they lost him at Stoke. And while they got through the Stoke game, they've not been quite at it, Brentford aside, since. And I think he's been a big miss. I think for the majority of the season, Sabri Lamouchi's operated with he changed the goalkeeper four or five games in from Aro Muric to Bree Samba. But really, that the back five has remained largely the same. Now, there's been chopping and changing there in the last few weeks. One week you've had Tobias Figueiredo playing alongside Joe Worrell. who's been a revelation since returning from Glasgow. You've had Chema Rodriguez, who's a new signing from Spain, who's still getting to grips with it. So 1 week, Figueiredo's in the team. 1 week is Chema. And you've also got Matty Cash, who's an attacking right midfielder, that's slotting in at right back, a square peg in a round hole, if you like. He's doing a phenomenal job. And, you know, we love Matty. He's brilliant. And he gives absolutely everything for the shirt. But he's still learning that role. And having Michael Dawson alongside him and alongside Joseph Worrell, that's been a big loss. So I think there's, you know, one or two other players not maybe playing at their peak. Joe Lolley's admitted that he's not been playing to his level. Lewis Grabbins missed one or two good chances that you would ordinarily expect him to find the onion bag with. So, look, the Championship, as we know, it's a long season. It's 46 games and we're only in the very, very early stages of it. And Forest are having a little blip. And it's nothing more than that. It was going to happen at some point.
I've asked this question, Baz, of a number of the Championship guests we've had, asking why it is that this season in particular, it feels so concertinaed between the top and sort of mid-table. Is it a case of the quality, the overall standard of the Championship has just gone up a notch and there are so many good teams that have either recently been in the Premier League, therefore have the parachute money, or notoriously big sides that mean that there is more quality? Or is it the other way? Is it a case of actually the standard is dropping a little bit and it's therefore bringing more so-called average sides into contention?
Yeah, that's a rather good question. I think it's a combination of, not wanting to sit on the fence at all, but I think it's a combination of pretty much all those factors. You've got the parachute. There's a lot more clubs now in the Championship that have benefited from being in the Premier League in recent years and having the parachute money. But you if you look at Middlesbrough, for example, they've been in the Premier League within the last couple of years, didn't really offer anything when they went there in terms of they didn't spend anything. They've come down and they're really, really struggling. So I think a lot more teams are being spread out. It is very even. You've got teams like Forest that have not been in and Leeds as well, that haven't been in the Premier League for eons now, but are spending money on trying to get back in there. So every single year we seem to say that the Championship is getting much more competitive. It's much more concertina. Is the quality being sapped slightly? Yes, probably it is. But because there's a lot more clubs are almost gambling to try and get into the Premier League, but other clubs are spending, the quality of player is being spread across. I do think, though, we are still only in, albeit bar a few days of October, probably come Christmas time. We always used to say, I think, in football, 10 games was the yardstick of the season. Once you've got 10 games through, everything starts to filter out. People start to find their form, their positions, and the league starts to take a little bit of shape. I'm not sure in the Championship over the last two or three years that's been the case. And I think, you know, realistically, up to January, February, March time, I don't think a lot's going to change because everybody's beating everybody. Brentford, you know, Brentford were beaten at Forest. It finished 1-0, but it was a far more comfortable 1-0 than it suggested on paper. Since then, Brentford have gone and won three on the spin, including winning 3-1 at QPR last night, who QPR could have gone second if they'd have won. So I guess that sums up. And three wins has taken Brentford to 12, a couple of points off the top three or four. So it's so tight. And I just see this being the theme. And throw January into the mix. So many teams are going to go into January thinking, crikey, we're only 4 or 5 points off the top six. This is our chance. We can have a go. There's nobody that's grabbing the Championship by its tails and saying, like, they're going to run away with it. You kind of thought West Brom might be that club, but they keep drawing at home. They keep conceding two goals and they've not quite got it together yet. So there's so many variables. It's just absolutely fascinating, isn't it?
One bit of positive news for Nottingham Forest is that one of the men injured could be closing in on a return. Sam Bassal, who signed over the summer from Dynamo Moscow, is potentially just a couple of weeks away from returning from a hamstring injury. How big a loss has he been during his absence, and how much will he add to this side when he does come back from injury?
Oh, he's been a huge loss. And I've got to be honest, I don't think people quite appreciated what he brought to the side prior to his absence. He not only has a massive impact upon the team and the way the team plays, but he also has a huge impact upon allowing Ben Watson to be... Ben Watson's been absolutely brilliant in the work that he's done under Sabri Lamouchi. But Sal is box-to-box. He's gangly. He's so physically imposing and strong on the ball. He's impossible to knock off at times. And he almost looks like he's going to give the ball away or he's going to let the opposition player take the ball off him. And then from nowhere, his right boot will come out and take it away. There was the prime example was the equaliser at Stoke a few weeks ago, where it sort of almost looked like he'd lost the ball in the middle of the park, managed to touch it past his man, and then spread the ball out wide, and Forrest then attacked, and Joe Lolley scored the rebound after, well, scored the goal after Jack Butland and Grabban had sort of clashed for it. But he's integral to what Forrest do, the way the formation that Forrest operate with your back four, and then Ben Watson and Sam Bissau just sitting, shielding in front of the back four, which then allows the three of Lolley, of Carvalho, of whoever that might be, Sammy Amiobi, Albert Adoma, to go there and support Lewis Grabban further forward. Those two are the insurance policy that operate. And I think Sal's absence, coupled with Dawson's absence, has just given Forrest a little fragility in the last couple of weeks. And we shouldn't forget Alpha Semedo as well, because he was the one that started the season in the side alongside Ben Watson and had a great impact. But Sal is absolute quality. And I think the sooner they can get Sal and Mickey Dawson back in that team, they'll be much better for it.
And just one final one for you, Baz. Next game is away at Luton on the weekend. How important is it that Forest get back to winning ways after a couple of poor results, and also the fact that they had a game cooled off due to a waterlogged pitch last weekend?
Oh, massively. Historically, Forest have always struggled at Luton. It's not a ground they've got, certainly in the last recent decade. They've not played all there that many times for obvious reasons. They've not been in the same league. But I'm thinking 7-8 years ago in the Championship, and then an FA Cup tie thereafter. They've not done particularly well down there. I know it's a complete sellout, and has been for quite a few weeks for both teams. So that is a real test for Forest, because Luton are going to come at them. It's a big game for Luton. They're going to come at Forest and give it a real go. And certainly given the last two results, Forest, it's going to be a real test of the strength of character. And what they won't want to do, having lost two games prior to the break, and since the break, and lost the game to the weather at the weekend, is go into the Derby game, of course, at the City Ground a week on Saturday in bad form. So there's always a disagreement with some supporters, you know, what you say about playing away from home. But I think if Forest were to come away with a point from Kenilworth Road, that wouldn't be a bad start. I mean, obviously you want three, of course you do. And if Forest have got aspirations to challenge at the top of the division, which they have, then you want to be targeting 3 points. But if they could come away with a point at the weekend, knowing they've got a great opportunity against a bang average Derby team coming the week after, that's an opportunity to go into the break with some positivity in their lungs ahead of the span up to Christmas.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Baz. That was Baz Cooper, journalist at the Nottingham Post. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. And one man that's done that this afternoon is Mitchell, a Leeds United season ticket holder. Thank you very much for calling in this afternoon, Mitchell. It was a 0-0 draw for your side on the weekend away at Sheffield Wednesday. How did you view that result? Was it a point gained or 2 points dropped?
Yeah, of course. First of all, you can see... You know, both sides have gone at the game. That was the most important thing for me, to show a couple of signs that we weren't just going for a point. And, you know, we want to be right up there at the end of it. And I think we are one of the best sides in the Championship. But briefly looking over it, I think Casillas made some outstanding saves. Just slightly concerned that we made Stephen Fletcher look as good as he did at times. I think that, you know, we gave away too much room. And so did Wednesday at times, but you know, I think the man management at times was a bit 50-50 for me. I thought we could have done a little bit better, but I thought individually Ben White was fantastic. Them last stitch challenges that, you know, last season we saw Pontus Janssen do quite a lot. So I think at the start of the season there was a couple of nerves anyway, especially from my side, thinking, have we got a strong enough defence? Because going into the season, I wasn't too sure how Ben White was going to fit in, but I think if you'd have put him next to Pontus, you'd have had a kind of Premier League partnership in the Championship. So, you know, I think he's fitting brilliantly. I think against Wednesday, I thought we did show a couple of good signs where I thought to myself, you know, good individual play. And I think people have been very negative over the way that we played against Sheffield Wednesday, but they can't have been to a couple of games that I've been to, because I thought we played a lot worse against Birmingham, where I didn't think we played well at all. Whereas against Wednesday, I thought the conditions, people forget, was very wet, greasy surfaces, and also seeing other games postponed, which, you know, showed how bad the weather had been. So I thought to acclimatise to that was fantastic. And especially away from home, it's no easy place to go to Hillsborough. And not many teams will go there and win this season. But I think overall this season, if we can just, you know, the next couple of games, we're playing against bottom six for some of them. So for me, we've got to start getting some results. I think the important thing for Leeds now is to, when we play seven games in a row, is to win all seven. And we've got to do that twice in a season to have a chance of getting that top two for me.
Thank you very much for calling in this afternoon, Mitchell. That was Mitchell. He's a Leeds United season ticket holder. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us here on the Championship Fan Show, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us, and we want to hear from you. Obviously, this is a show that's dedicated to you, the Championship fans out there, every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock. So we want to hear from all of you out there listening to us and all the fans of any Championship club. We're going to continue talking all things Championship, and up next, we'll be talking all things Swansea.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us here on the Championship Fan Show. We're going to be talking all things Swansea now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Tom Coleman, sports writer at Wales Online. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Tom. Just put it into a bit of perspective. Swansea obviously won the game 1-0 against Cardiff in the Welsh Derby. Put it into a bit of perspective how important this game is to both sets of fans, and is it kind of irrelevant which division it's actually played in, because it means a whole lot more than simply just 3 points on offer?
First of all, thanks for having me on, Kieran. I think it's definitely one of the most passionate derbies in the UK, and probably in British, certainly in British football. And I think the message from Steve Cooper before the game was to sort of play the game, not the occasion, that sort of old cliche. He was sort of very keen to downplay any talk of the derby before it began, before that game against Brentford. So he's very, very keen on focusing on the task in hand. Very, very keen to look on the footballing side of it. And, you know, as you say, I think, you know, whatever division this game is in, it's important. But I think, you know, from Steve Cooper's point of view, just getting those points on the board was probably the most important thing. They went into this game on a particularly rotten run of form, had that cracking start at the beginning of the season, obviously. But came into this with, I think it was 1-8. So, you know, to get a win, I think, against anyone would have been important. And obviously, the momentum you get from a derby win, especially in the manner of it as well. I mean, for me, Swansea controlled from start to finish. It's the first time I've seen them this season, really, where they actually controlled the game from beginning to end. And they should have really won by more, if we're honest. So I think the manner of it will build up a huge amount of momentum as well, and hopefully give them something to kick on for the rest of the season.
It's interesting you mentioned, Tom, about playing the game rather than the occasion. And when you look at some of the team selection decisions that Steve Cooper went with, he opted to go with some pretty experienced heads, in particular Wayne Ratledge and Nathan Dyer, who've not just played for quite a while at Swansea, but in kind of top level or Championship Premier League football for a long, long time. That must have been a further indication right from the get-go that perhaps he wants to make sure that there were guys that knew how to play. Obviously, they're survivors of the last meeting between the sides 5 years ago, that he was aware of this going into the game, that young players might not be able to deal with the pressure of it. Instead, actually going with maybe players that aren't quite playing at their best anymore, they're past their peak, but actually players that really know what it takes to win these types of games.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I think, you know, as you say, Wayne Routledge and Nathan Dyer, the two players who understand this game, you know, they get it. They understand the importance of it to the fans, and they understand what it takes to perform in games like this. I think Steve Cooper himself would probably disagree on the point about young players. You know, he has a lot of belief in the team that he has at the moment. But I mean, it's a difficult one to really work out, I guess, because, you know, at the end of the day, Swansea are are a young team, I guess. And as you say, Wayne Routledge and Nathan Dyer, they probably do have their best years behind them. So looking more long term, are those really going to be the longer term options out on both wings? I'm not so sure. One of the things that perhaps went under the radar a little bit was the fact that it allowed Salim to play that favoured number 10 role as well. So we really, that kind of brought out the best of him as well on Sunday. But it was an interesting selection, but I suppose given the circumstances of the game, given the circumstances of, you know, the importance of getting a result, especially in a derby, I suppose it wasn't that surprising to see a couple of experienced heads. And perhaps, you know, that you could possibly make the argument that was the reason Cardiff seemed to freeze on Sunday. It was a really, really incoherent display at times, especially in midfield. And, you know, it kind of showed that there were a lot of players. I mean, there's players in that Cardiff team who understand, you know, big occasions, but perhaps not what it means for a South Wales derby. And, I think it certainly seemed to give Swansea a little bit of an edge. And, regardless of the reason behind it, it clearly paid off.
What was the biggest takeaway for Swansea? Was it simply the fact that they got the win in a big game, and also Swansea's form in recent times has been a little bit patchy after a very impressive first 8-9 games of the season? Or was it actually the manner of the win, that even though it was only by a one-goal margin, it was only 1-0, actually Swansea were miles the better side. They could have and should have won by a lot more, and Cardiff were not really in the game, and Neil Etheridge was most certainly the busier of the two goalkeepers?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's in terms of the biggest takeaway, I suppose that's going to differ. You know, the biggest takeaway of Steve Cooper is probably going to differ to the biggest takeaway for fans. I mean, I think the fans are probably going to be dining out on this for a little while. Obviously, it's the first South Wales derby for 5 years, I believe. So, you know, bragging rights are very, very important as a fan. But I think Cooper will be looking at it, thinking, well, you know, this is what this team is capable of. We're capable of going into games, dominating from start to finish. Okay, we only scored one, but you know, on another day, Swansea could have, you know, as I said earlier, could have easily scored two or three more. And I think that will be the takeaway that he'll be looking at. He'll be looking at this as kind of a benchmark, I guess, for future performances. And you know, he'll be saying to his players, well, you know, this is what you're capable of. Let's see a bit more of this. Starting off with the game against Wigan on Saturday.
One big loss for Swansea over these next few weeks and probably months is that Joe Roden is going to be out for the next couple of months after injuring a tendon. He's going to be out for a little while for Swansea. He's also going to miss Wales' games in the next international break. How big a blow is this, not just for Steve Cooper, the manager, in terms of dealing with the absence of one of your young players, but for him personally as well? How big a blow is it when he's just starting to emerge, not just on a club level and people potentially linking him to Premier League clubs and whether he's good enough for that, but also at international level? How big a blow will this be to his development?
Oh, very, very big. I mean, as you say, you know, this has been, I mean, it was a good season for him last season, but I mean, this one for me really has kind of been his breakthrough. And as you say, you know, arriving onto the international stage, it's been, you know, it's frustrating, really, in terms of the timing of the injury. It's kind of knocked a bit of momentum. And obviously, you know, he's at the age where, you know, you want that confidence to play as many games as you possibly can and to get as many minutes under your belt as possible to sort of continue your development. I think, you know, as you say, it is a big blow for Steve Cooper, but I think he's pretty confident, really, that he's got options that can fill in the gaps. I mean, let's not forget that if it wasn't for Roden's injury, Ben Wilmot, who scored the winner on Sunday, wouldn't have played. So, you know, I think Cooper does, I think he's quietly confident that he has options. But I think Roden himself, I think, will be absolutely devastated and probably more frustrated rather than saddened. I mean, as you say, with those two crucial qualifiers for Wales coming up, I mean, he for me, I think he would have probably been the first choice alongside Chris Meppham in that Wales back four. So, you know, it that's a very frustrating time for him. But I think, you know, Cooper will probably be saying to him, you know, come back stronger. And I don't think he necessarily walks back into that team. I think Cooper will want him to sort of fight for his place. I mean, obviously that depends on the performances of the likes of Wilmot, etc. But yeah, like I said, I think the differing views of Cooper and Roden really do come through here.
And just finally then, Tom, up next for Swansea, you mentioned it a few moments ago, away at Wigan on Saturday. I'm sure Steve Cooper will be desperate to build on that first win in a few games with another win this weekend.
Oh, most certainly, yeah. I mean, you know, Swansea have been a different animal away from home than they have at the Liberty Stadium, which is strange, really, because I mean, it was kind of the reverse under Graham Potter last season. The Liberty Stadium was a fortress under him, but the away form probably wasn't quite so good. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be important that Swansea do build on the momentum that they've built up on Sunday, because, I mean, the thing is, if they go to Wigan and get beat, you know, badly, that's really going to then, you know, the shine that's come with this derby victory will evaporate completely. But listen, I mean, Cooper said immediately after that game, and he's very, very good at trying to sort of focus on the task that's in front of him. He doesn't like get too sidetracked. And I think, all the evidence suggests that he's doing quite well to install that in his squad and in his players. So, you know, I think the message will be, you know, it's enjoyable. Hope you've enjoyed yourself in terms of the win. But, you know, actually now it's time to get back to the graft, get back to that game against Wigan, because it's not going to be an easy game. I was there when Wigan played Cardiff on the opening day, and, you know, they've got players that can hurt Swansea. There's no doubt about that. Cooper will be aware of, you know, their strengths and weaknesses. I'm sure he will have done his homework, and I'm sure Swansea won't be taking anything for granted.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Tom. That was Tom Coleman, sports writer at Wales Online, giving his views on the Welsh Derby, which Swansea won by 1-0. Continue to get in touch with us this afternoon, of course, on 0208 70 20 558. Up next, we'll be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. That number again, 0208 70 20 558. We want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, this show every single weekday is dedicated to you. Is dedicated to you, the Championship fans out there, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Dom Howson from the Sheffield Star. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dom. It was a 0-0 draw at home against Leeds, the first time this fixture has ended 0-0 in about 50 years. What was your view on the game? Gary Monk believed his side deserved all 3 points. Is that a fair reflection from the Wednesday manager?
Yeah, I would say so. I think Wednesday created the better chance. Stephen Fletcher had a couple of opportunities, either half. And I think maybe with a little bit more luck and rub of the green, perhaps, yeah, Wednesday. I think they certainly edged it in the second half. I think they had the better of things. And so I don't think many people would have begrudged them had Wednesday got the win. But still decent result for Wednesday, and it keeps them in a strong position in the Championship.
What are your views coming out of the game in terms of whether, obviously the obvious question is it 2 points dropped or 1 point gained, even though it was at home against a side of the quality of Leeds, who are right up their third place at the moment, one of the leading contenders to get promoted? What's your view on that? Is it actually a very good point, or will it ultimately only be determined as to whether Sheffield Wednesday get into promotion spots or not?
It was probably a missed opportunity to get one over the rivals in the table, the Yorkshire neighbours, and to have made a statement to the Championship. The fact is that if Wednesday's won by 2 goals, they would have for a few hours at least. So, there's some disappointment, I'm sure, that Wednesday didn't get over the line and get the win, but it keeps them in. Gary Monk, it's now 4. And they've only lost once under him in the Championship. So things are still looking pretty positive, but it's important that Wednesday go now until the next international break. They need to keep this run going and finish with a bit of a flourish and takes momentum going into November.
We had a Leeds fan call in earlier, and he was a little bit critical of the fact that they allowed Stephen Fletcher to look perhaps a bit better than he is. What have you made of him this season, and what was his performance like on the weekend against Leeds?
Stephen Fletcher led the line well. He had wasn't up front on his own, which he has been in some of the matches under Gary Monk. You know, Atty Niu took, I think, some of the pressure off him, and they're both two big, strong, physical players, and so they gave Wednesday real presence up there in attack, and it nearly paid off really well in tandem. When they played together before at Middlesbrough, they won 4-1. It certainly worked a treat there. So, in terms of Stephen Fletcher, he's the top scorer with 5 goals. He's now gone a few matches without a goal, but he keeps getting himself in the right position. He's a key player in this team. If Sheffield Wednesday are going to be successful this year, they need a fit and firing Stephen Fletcher. There's no doubt about that.
I see that coming off the bench was Fernando Forestieri. Obviously, he served a ban, a quite lengthy ban, for a racist remark that he made to an opposition player. How crucial a player is he now that they've got him back? Obviously, not getting into the details of the ban that he got, but now that he's back and playing again, how key a player is he going to be for Gary Monk?
He could be a very important player in this team, but the reality is that Fernando Forestieri on the pitch hasn't delivered now for a couple of seasons. When he first arrived at the club, he finished as top scorer in 2015-16 and 2016-17. But then since then, injuries, disciplinary problems, and a number of factors have really stopped him from showing or continuing that form. When he first joined the club at the time, you would have to say that up to sort of 2017, he was arguably one of the best players in the Championship. So he's got a lot to prove over the coming months. His contract's up at the end of the season. And we've seen flashes since he's come back into the team. He came off the bench the other day and he looked quite lively. So he's got a point to prove. There's no doubt about it.
Looking ahead then to Sheffield Wednesday's next game, it is away at Blackburn on Saturday. Now, on paper, you'd probably say this is a game that Sheffield Wednesday should be winning. But the nature of the Championship, we speak to so many guests here on the Championship Fan Show about how inconsistent a lot of teams are, how wacky the Championship can be, that one week you win when you're not expected to and you lose the next week that you're not expected to. So is that something that Gary Monk's side are going to have to be wary of, that even though it seems like it's a game that Sheffield Wednesday should win, this season's Championship, what it has proven is that you should expect the unexpected?
Absolutely, yeah. The Championship is incredibly unpredictable, and right now you would have to say that on paper, Sheffield Wednesday will be the favourites going to Ewood Park with the form that they've shown since Gary Monk has taken over, and the fact that results have dipped for Blackburn. I think they're now 6 without a win. But the logic sort of goes out of the window, really, in the Championship, and it will be a case of Wednesday, if they're going to get a positive result at Blackburn, they're going to have to turn in and put in a pretty strong performance. It's not been a particularly happy hunting ground for them in recent years. But for Wednesday, it's a big opportunity against a team who are struggling at the minute to, again, strengthen their sort of stranglehold over one of those playoff positions.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dom. That was Dom Howson from the Sheffield Star talking about Sheffield Wednesday. That 0-0 draw, as I said, it's so interesting that that's the first time that Wednesday and Leeds have drawn 0-0 in a game in 50 years, since the 1960s. A pretty stunning statistic that shows that there aren't many drab draws between Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds. Gary Monk, the Wednesday manager, has made a very impressive start to life as the Wednesday manager. He believed that the performance merited all 3 points for his side, and you don't often see Leeds scramble in the way they did. So perhaps a bit of frustration from the Wednesday manager that they couldn't quite get over the line and get all 3 points. Both sides do drop down slightly in the table, but still well positioned. Sheffield Wednesday in 4th, Leeds in 3rd. But it's ridiculous, really, the Championship this season. As I said, we've spoken to so many of our guests here on the Championship Fan Show, and I've asked that question quite a few times, and it kind of is met with a perhaps a an uncertainty as to the reason why we have a situation that West Brom in first, down to Derby in 16th, only 9 points covers 16 teams. It really is incredible. And Sheffield Wednesday's next fixture is away at Blackburn, who are currently 17th. So on paper, it seems like Sheffield Wednesday are going to win. But I bet you it doesn't turn out like that. And Blackburn will probably win. And we'll be continuing to wonder why the Championship really is so crazy. But Wednesday back in action then on the weekend against Blackburn. They're away at Ewood Park on Saturday afternoon. Remember, if you want to share your views on your Championship club, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Interesting to see that in the Carabao Cup ties, the fourth round, eight of them, no Championship clubs in there. That's a real surprise. It really has been dominated by the Premier League. Maybe that shows that not it hasn't been a case of Premier League sides playing stronger teams in the third round, but it, or even the second round before that. But I think it just shows the quality of some of the squads. But it really is a surprise that we get to this point with 16 teams left that there are no Championship clubs. That is a massive, massive surprise considering all the shocks we see, the fact that none of those 24 sides take their place in the Carabao Cup fourth round tonight or tomorrow night. And yet there are some teams from below the Championship as well. Last night was the final game of the Championship weekend. It was another rivalry game. We've talked about Swansea playing Cardiff on Sunday. In London yesterday, it was QPR up against Brentford, and the away side won 3-1 thanks to two goals from Ollie Watkins. And we'll be getting a bit of reaction from Brentford next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, have your views heard here on Love Sport, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Last night, as I mentioned, was the final game of the Championship weekend. It saw QPR take on Brentford. QPR have made a pretty impressive start to the season, but they were given a bit of a blow yesterday by the away side. Brentford ran out easy winners in the end by 3-1. 2 goals from Ollie Watkins, who's now up to 10 for the season. A pretty good replacement, ready-made replacement for Neil Morpay. And earlier on the Breakfast Show with Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's, they were joined by Sam Saunders, a former Brentford player and also currently the Brentford B assistant coach. So he joined them earlier on the Breakfast Show, and they started by asking him his views on Brentford's impressive result last night.
We was always going to get stronger. As always with Brentford, there was a lot of speculation about the front four. Are they staying? Are they going? Players wanting to move. Players, see, not 100% match fit because they didn't want to play in games because they didn't want to ruin their mood, which you, in some respects you can understand. We're talking about life-changing sums of money and stuff that they were getting offered. Everyone talks about Brentford being a selling club, but they had bids for all front four with Canos, Watkins, Saeed and Neil, and they only sold one. So and these weren't that measly offers as well. So I think that there is a perception that Brentford are a selling club, but when you look at the money that they turned down to try and build something this year, and with the boys obviously a bit unsettled at the start of pre-season, it was only going to get stronger. And you're seeing Saeed now, he's producing performances consistently now. Now his fitness levels have got up to speed. And it's just a shame that I've seen Sergi and Nikos that are out for a significant period of time. Because you think with that front five, with the three positions there, with them interchanging and then coming out and coming back in, that's a real potent front of the side for us. And now we seem to be a bit more consistent at the back as well. Pontus Janssen there leading the boys with that bit of experience. It seems to be a bit of a roll going now, and hopefully that momentum continues. We'll be up there come January, and hopefully we can strengthen up the top areas.
Yeah, well, I want to ask about a few individuals. Certainly, I want to ask about Watkins. Naturally, I want to ask you about your goalkeeper. Reminds me of a 6-foot goalkeeper you had not so long ago. Good-looking lad, springy, makes great saves, good distribution. Ring any bells?
Chesney was a bit taller than that, wasn't he?
Okay, there's no need, Sons.
No.
It's
no.
Disappointing, mate. We're live on the radio. Be nice.
Yeah, all right. To be fair, I can see what you're saying. He's come in and done really well. And see, Dan Bentley, we seem to have always had decent goalkeepers at the club. You look back to like Simon Moore and stuff like that. So it's been, it seems to be a trait. But now with the way that Brentford play, with the high line that they play at the back, you need someone that's, that is quick, that is agile, that can come off his line and play with his feet. And David ticks all them boxes. So he's come in. There was one he dropped last night, which gave me a little bit of a heart attack.
Yeah.
But apart from that, he was very, very solid. And no, he's been very good. And he's a top lad. He's come in and settled into the club immediately. He's been really good vocal. Yeah, ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that, yeah, distribution last night for me. Fantastic. I want to talk about, because you had a couple of players you mentioned there that left, obviously Morpai, Romain Sawyers as well. So there were a few question marks as to the amount of change at the club. And I guess from looking from my perspective, it's almost looked like it's taken a few weeks just to get everybody to gel. But now that they have gelled, only 4 points off second, I know currently in 12th, but only 4 points off second, you feel that there was obviously the disruption last season, which really cost Brentford during that middle part of the season. It feels like they might have had that already. And now that things have settled a bit, all being well, it should be, well, it could be a really positive season.
Well, you know, as well as anyone, Rich, it's momentum is such a big thing in football. Confidence and momentum are just two massive things that you can't coach. It just happens. And then when you get on that roll, you just try and keep it going for as long as you can, because the confidence can blow teams away before you go onto the pitch thinking that you're going to win straight away. That belief, I feel that they've got that at the moment, and it's just about keeping that going until January, because the front three at the moment are on fire, but you can't expect them to play 90 minutes every week and produce the levels that they're producing. So unfortunately, with, like I say, the two long-term injuries we received in the last couple of weeks, and it's devastating, particularly for Sergi, who was, for me, the strongest he's been, playing 90 minutes week in, week out, fitter, stronger, looked like he'd developed into a man now, and it's a shame because he was really flying. So looked like we'd probably have to strengthen in those areas come January. So if we can be up and around there then with a couple of additions, I don't see why we can't be pushing in these playoff spots, and it'd be real spectacular, that, with particularly being the last year at the stadium and moving into the new one. It'd be really fitting.
Yeah, really would. I want to talk about Ollie Watkins as well. I mean, he's another one who's certainly getting many headlines at the moment. Brilliant again last night. Just how good is he to work with?
With Ollie, the problem with Ollie is he's biggest critic. He's such a humble lad. And normally centre forwards, you know what they're like. They're normally cocksure themselves and this and that, and they think they're the best thing. They always want the ball, and even if they're in the worst position than you, they still expect you to pass them and stuff like that. You know what strikers are like. But Ollie's just the most humble lad. He's got a great upbringing, and you can see that that's how he carries himself around the training ground. And like, if he misses a chance, he's just not got to worry about it, because he'll get another opportunity, because mistakes are part of passing football. I made one once, and it's like, I mean, you just have to get on with it. But it's just a case of, like, he doesn't know how good he is. His movement's good. He's strong. He gets chances. He can score left foot, right foot. He's scored about four or five headers already this season as well. He's in and around the six-yard box. And I say 10 already this season for someone that's the first real season through the middle. I think it's a credit to him. And as I say, it's a credit to Thomas and Brian and Kev, the coaching staff as well, for seeing that in him and obviously giving them a platform to show.
Yeah, and of course the win last night was against ex-manager Mark Warburton, which I'm sure the fans enjoyed that. I mean, credit to Mark, he's done a great job with QPR. Of course, QPR could have gone second last night with a victory. Did you get a chance to speak to Mark at all?
No, I was upstairs in Paul Sarney Brigade, but it was a case of sitting and speaking to those fans who watched the games game in, game out, and they spoke really highly of Mark and what he's done. QPR, the last few years, hasn't been great. And they was really, really complimentary of what he's done with a similar squad, to be honest. A few additions here and there, but it's you can see, particularly the period in the second half when they come out and started to really move the ball. You can see that was a Mark Warburton team. First half, not so much, I didn't think. Brentford really dominated the ball. Thought their quality showed. I thought there was a much better footballing side in the first half. Second half, they got that goal, early goal, and then like we talk about momentum and confidence, QPR took that on to the next period, and then Brentford started to slow it down and then got a foothold in the game, and that's where I feel like the players like Makoto and Pontus Jensen really, really took hold of that the ball and calmed it down, and we got the chance, and it was a bit of a soft penalty, but then Saeed stuck it away, and then I felt then really we were quite solid. Sat a bit deeper, but didn't really allow them any shots, a few shots outside the box, and then we was always dangerous on the break. When you've got the pace that we have in the front three, you're always going to be liable, especially when they're pushing for an equaliser to get done on the counter.
I wanted to ask you, was that a penalty for you?
No, it wasn't for me. I think it was like, if it was against Brentford, I'd be fuming. So I can see why Mark was raging at the end, to be honest, because like I say, it was 1-0. The game was in a balance. QPR had done well and got themselves back into the game, so at that time it was a pivotal decision, and then it gave them a mountain to climb. It made them push on to Brentford, and then that always leaves you susceptible to the counter, and it proved to be.
Yeah,
it was a soft one. I felt that, to be fair, going, he could see it coming, and he realised he couldn't get to the ball, and he didn't go for the challenge. I didn't think he'd done much wrong, to be honest. So it was quite harsh.
Yeah, we're just thankful VAR's not in the championship next. Championship at the moment. I did see on Twitter, obviously, you put a picture out with the 3-1, which I did enjoy. Just on yourself at the moment, you're obviously doing your work with the Brentford B. It sounds like you're going all over the world with them at the moment.
Yeah. We're trying to get these boys ready for whatever standard of football they're going to get, because say we've got a squad of 20 and not every single one of them is going to make it into the Brentford first team. We're aware of that, but we're just trying to get them the platform first and foremost as men, get them ready for wherever they go as human beings, and then as footballers. We had two boys from the B team on the bench last night, which was really pleasing. And we played a cup game at Hamwell Town on Saturday in the rain. It was 2-0 down after 10 minutes. It was rainy, boggy pitch. Really felt like a first-round FA Cup draw away from home, you know. But it felt like that kind of scenario. The boys battled back, playing some good stuff, and we managed to go through them. So it was really good. The players were leaving the tackles on them, you know. Just a really good, like, learning curve. And then we play, like, a Reading on a Wednesday night at Griffin Park, which is a completely different test. And then we're going to La Manga next week, and we're playing a couple of Spanish teams. So we're really giving them different kinds of footballing experiences and life lessons, really. For if they want to be a professional, these different circumstances they're going to face. Mm. And, yeah, it's really enjoyable for me, as obviously my first year out of playing, to be going and visit these different countries, seeing how different teams play. It's good for my education as well as now being a young coach. So it's really beneficial, and I think the boys enjoy it. It keeps you fresh. No, we're not in a league. We're in three cup competitions, but we're not in any leagues. Mm. So when we try and make them as competitive as possible and really give the boys a test.
That was the former Brentford midfielder and currently the Brentford B assistant coach, Sam Saunders, who joined Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's on The Breakfast Show. Remember, you can catch Love Sport Breakfast every weekday morning between 6:30 and 10 a.m. Well worth the listen. Obviously, reacting to Brentford's win last night in the Championship, 3-1 away at QPR. Ollie Watkins getting on the score sheet twice to take his goal-scoring form to double figures this season.
This is Love Sport.